It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security. Welcome to America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Ed Hoglund, your host for the next hour. National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. Each week and each episode, we take you on a journey exploring exclusive, in-depth national security investigations that connect the past to the present and expose America's enemies, both foreign and domestic, which is exactly what I'll be talking about today. The line between tyranny and freedom is much thinner than you think. The balance of the information equilibrium, as I noted in my last discussion and my last episode, can change in an instant from freedom and democracy to tyranny and despotism, not just in a few months, but in only just a few days. So let's move past that issue for a moment and to what can happen today, realistically, in our country, given the current environment. Today, I'll discuss the potential for America's Armageddon by imagining the art of the possible in the degree of disruption that our foreign and or domestic enemies can inflict relatively easily on America within just a few days or weeks. Armageddon is defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary as the site or time of a final and conclusive battle between the forces of good and evil. Armageddon is a real possibility in today's America. Not decades from now, but today, tomorrow, or next week. So in today's program, I'll discuss and answer the following three questions. What is the likelihood of an American Armageddon? How can anyone imagine this is a real prospect? And in closing, I'll answer, what can we do, what must we do to avoid such a calamity? Every night about 2 a.m. or so, I wake and start to ponder broader strategic issues as I lay in silence. Something was bothering me about broader efforts I've been watching over the last 6 years and over the last three decades, a few nights ago. While I've warned others of the dangers that we face and how thin the line really is between tyranny and freedom, between good and evil, I'm not sure if my warnings have been heeded or are heeded. I thought back to 9/11, to the start of the China flu, the COVID-19 pandemic, and to my time in a former Soviet Union when I walked around a country which was subjugated by dictators, controlling millions by fear. And I thought about my education in Soviet studies and how the leaders of Russia were able to impose tyranny across Eastern Europe as the Iron Curtain fell after World War II. Each of these events, the Iron Curtain falling, a million plus Americans now murdered from a biological weapon attack, over 100,000 murdered each year from fentanyl, and 3,000 murdered on 9/11. And I wonder, are Americans awake? Do they truly realize that our nation is no longer an island of freedom separated by two oceans, but a land that is now borderless, with millions invading, aided by an internal insurgency that is hell-bent on altering the fabric of our nation for the sole purpose of obtaining absolute power? I thought to myself as I lay there, will we be like the Venezuelans who took their freedoms for granted and found within months their country's prosperities and freedoms evaporated? Or will our people wake up and realize, like our founders, that we must throw off the reins of tyranny, take back our country, and if necessary, understand that doing so may require us to lose our fortunes, our homes, and even our lives, which is what our founders sacrificed. If we take that foundation and consider the 9/11 Commission, what the 9/11 Commission said over two decades ago now about our intelligence community, that 9/11 was a failure of imagination. That 9/11, the failure of imagination, was the greatest problem that allowed the attacks of 9/11 to happen. So as I lay there and thought about what's next for America, we must be cognizant of the fact America could be on the precipice of its own Armageddon by 2020X, fill in the blank. Because of the facts, I've imagined this not far-fetched, not a stretch of the imagination, but solely an assessment of how, if I wanted to undermine and subvert our country, how could I, in present-day America, do that, given our woke leadership, their policies, and events of today? In my last episode, I discussed the progressives' unrestricted war of terror on America. And I discussed the fact that Americans do not necessarily believe what they see. I talked about the effect of the cognitive domain of Americans in the polyvagal theory, where people shut down. So in this context, if we look at the strategic picture of what's going on today in America, it does not paint a pretty picture. So let me repeat a warning I issued back in February of 2018, and I quote, "Unless we adjust our future operations and investments to account for the paradigm shifts that have occurred under our feet, our nation, and its intelligence operations will once again waken too late to a different reality, which is likely to end badly with significant long-term impacts to our nation's security and place as a world leader. I project such a negative and reactive outcome to occur either because we lost the cognitive war totally, our adversaries succeeded in undermining their institutions and democratic foundation to such an extent they are no longer viable, or because our efforts to counter in the cognitive domain came too late. If we fail to act in the cognitive domain," I said, "we will likely end up in a major kinetic conflict resulting in devastating outcomes in physical and human toll, and recovery is questionable." Now, if I go back to that warning of 2018, but I focus on the second part about our adversaries succeeding in undermining their institutions, our democratic foundation, to such an extent they are no longer viable. It's not hard to imagine Americans' Armageddon with the degree of destruction, devastation, physical and human toll would be on par with and potentially exceed that of any major kinetic conflict, only here on our home soil. For our audience, this program is a warning for all ages. It must be heeded, must be understood, and must be brought forth to the leaders of your community, your county, your state, and federal government. I'm not here today to drive hysteria or be hyperbolic, but to provide our leaders as an intelligence professional to imagine the art of the possible via some real scenarios. Albeit they're imagined scenarios, these scenarios are increasingly possible to undertake and achieve today, tomorrow, or the next month to create America's Armageddon. Before I speak to the steps which we must take to ensure that this does not occur, let me address the first question I proffered in my opening monologue. What is the likelihood of an American Armageddon? Well, within a day or two, perhaps most a month, America could be turned on its head from a thriving economic and military power to a toothless shell of chaos and anarchy with a population that survives is thrown into martial law, where we see our economy tank as we recede into decades, or a century-long depression. This outcome is a real possibility in two scenarios. The first, in which we are infiltrated by insurgents who look to undertake specific actions across the U.S. to disrupt our society. This is not unrealistic. We have over 1.5 illegal gotaways, plus thousands of Chinese nationals who have illegally entered the country, plus 370,000 Chinese students across our country. The 1.5 million illegal gotaways equates to an army of 30,000 plus for every one of our 50 states. So I'm not speaking about the other 6 million illegals who've entered our country across the number of border, but I'm speaking to the 1.5 million aided by the cartels to purposely evade capture, arrest, or detection. The second scenario, in which the latter occurs in concert and purposely with compromised elected leaders to facilitate the imposition of martial law. In other words, create a crisis and use that crisis to subjugate. This also is not unrealistic, as we've seen in our justice system. It's been weaponized against our political party. The arrest of Donald Trump for a misdemeanor. At the same time, we see felons who've committed felonies have their charges reduced to misdemeanors and released. We've seen the defunding of police. We've seen the energy independence move to dependence. And we've seen our borders disappear. So this second scenario is not all that unimaginable. So I imagine if I wanted to subjugate the masses of America, I must not only terrorize them, as in the progressive unrestricted war of terror on America that I spoke of, but I must also remove their ability to fight back and increase their dependence and subjugation on the state concurrently. In today's environment, that's not very hard to do. Just think of how China flu crisis was used to subjugate, lockdown, control, censor, and achieve a cult-like appeasement by the state. So how could I take power now? Well, it starts with one of two scenarios I laid out above, where I create a crisis, and in that crisis, I slowly increase the controls, the subjugation, the terror and chaos. I slowly increase those controls like a python to squeeze submissiveness and subjugation and appeasement from the masses. It begins with the takedown of our major infrastructure hubs, transportation, power, energy, and food supplies. Currently, such disruptions drive a massive run on our banks, and they would, as we've seen with the recent banking crisis. As people with attacks on our infrastructure across the United States would try to ensure they had cash on hand to buy or obtain any remaining goods or supplies, as they rapidly decline from plentiful to non-existent. This is not just an imagined scenario. Part of this is real, as we've seen physical attacks on our power substations. We've seen real cyber attacks on our infrastructure, from energy to hospitals. We've seen attacks increase on our food supply and processing facilities across the United States. We've seen the infrastructure attacks with the derailments. And we've seen, I believe not coincidental, the hazardous chemical spills, the outsourcing of our energy to China, electronic vehicles, wind, solar. And we've seen what's occurred recently with SVP and SBF regarding the run on our banks of Ponzi schemes that drove mass American economic impacts across America. All of this could take place easily. But now add to that the fact that I have a 35,000-man army in every one of our states, and I only need a fraction of this number of illegal miscreants, saboteurs, to advance such chaos and anarchy. But if the effort is done in concert with a woke administration, then we'd see their leftist armies called up on speed dial like Antifa to create terror, anarchy, and chaos and expedite the imposition of martial law. So in the first scenario, insurgents and criminals, the effort is quickly moved from a coordinated guerrilla-style attack on infrastructure to purposefully increase crime, looting, and drive anarchy and chaos. Within 48 hours, mayhem will have ensued. And in this case, those well-organized criminal networks, for example, the Mexican cartels, along with any Chinese operatives who've infiltrated our open borders, who are also likely to be well-armed, can begin to control major parts of major cities and states with little to no retribution for weeks, months, or longer. Our National Guard, our law enforcement, et cetera, would be overwhelmed. That's not to mention coordinated cyber attacks from state or state-sponsored or other individual groups in parallel. The second scenario, compromised leaders, we could see a similar start, but in select states and cities, in order to effectively allow certain governors, in concert with a compromised president, to impose draconian measures on the people and label who they wish as insurgents. Because under martial law, they get to declare that and thereby move from a peaceful democratic republic to a dystopian tyranny overnight, while the courts, Congress, and government at the state, county, and local levels become ineffective or non-existent. Our government, from local cities to county to state and federal, would be forced to implement their continuity of government or COG efforts to ensure continuity of operations to provide basic government services. But the ensuing disruptions would rapidly accelerate to an uncontrolled state of anarchy and chaos. So in either scenario, by insurgents and illegals in the country, or in concert with corrupt elected leaders, either certain states or nationally, the imposition of martial law could happen very quickly. But they don't even have to conduct such operations in every state. They could achieve it the same effect by selecting either a state or a region. So let's go back to 2019, the Colonial Pipeline attack, ransomware attack. It affected the whole East Coast. The shutdown affected consumers and airlines along the East Coast. The Colonial Pipelines compromised more than 5,500 miles of pipeline, starting in Texas all the way up to New Jersey. So if these attacks were carried out, but they're never attributed, no one ever paid a price for them. The point being, attribution today would also be nearly impossible in a timely manner. All such efforts would therefore then lead towards the inevitable declaration of martial law. So before I go on break here, let me remind our listeners, all of our shows go to podcasts typically a day after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, and many more. So be sure to subscribe and rate the show and Apple Podcast forms. We'll be right back.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
Are you worried about spike proteins and how they may impact your health? Are you looking for help? The Wellness Company has an answer in the form of our clean, pure, all-natural spike formula, developed by experts like Dr. Peter McCullough. The Wellness Company's spike formula includes the incredible natokinase, dandelion root, black sativa extract, green tea, and iris sea moss. Even better, the spike formula by The Wellness Company is vegan, gluten-free, and made right here in the USA, so you know that you can trust and rely on it if you're concerned about spike proteins. Buying American-made naturalistic ingredients of this quality separately costs over $100. Our spike formula is only $65.99. Get spike formula today by going to twc.health. Out Loud listeners, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout for an additional discount. Go to twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD, and get peace of mind if you're concerned about spike proteins.
Welcome back to American Outlaw Talk Radio. I'm Ed Hoglan, and today I'm looking to the future and imagining America's Armageddon. So let's pick up where I left off and talk a little bit about martial law. Such efforts, as I mentioned in the last segment, anarchy and chaos would eventually lead to the declaration of martial law. So what is martial law? Well, if you go to military.com, it's a good place to have some information on this. And if we consider that we have in place a compromised executive, from my perspective, my opinion, with woke governors, and also an extremist legion of local elected officials. We can imagine the real possibility of their creating the crisis to impose then martial law. The imposition and consequences of which are enormous and have the potential to roll, back such efforts once started are minimal because they'd have to go through the courts and other measures. And by the time that was done, as we found out with COVID, it's all too late. But haven't we seen this already? Do we not believe what we've seen? As I mentioned, when we look back to 2016, how a set of miscreants used a false dossier to weaponize their national security apparatus to take out a duly elected president. I just mentioned the COVID flu and 2 to 3 years of lockdowns and abuse of false science, censorship, canceling, destroying people's lives and businesses. And over the last 6 years, all of these so-called conspiracies around Russian collusion, the Hunter laptop, COVID, et cetera, all these turned out to be actually factual events, which we knew, but the left-wing press is now even admitting they were. But like those actions still have, we have very little accountability. We must then look to the next steps that our domestic enemies could take to ensure the total usurpation of power. And this includes imposition of martial law. While there's no universal definition, the term often refers to the use of the military for law enforcement, but contrary to popular belief, simply calling up the federal or state members to assist in times of national emergency is not martial law. Under total martial law, the normal American law enforcement and legal system is replaced by a stricter set of laws and punishment that is completely controlled by whom? The military and/or executive branch of the government. And this is important to note, the normal checks and balances of constitutional power get thrown out the door. They're suspended. And now think about that for a moment. Though debated in some legal discussions, martial law can occur in stages without ever getting to take the military takeover fully. Under current U.S. law, the president, Congress, or local military commander may impose degrees of martial law under specific circumstances. Martial law was declared the first time back in 1812 by General Andrew Jackson. Since then, it's been declared 68 times. Most of the 68 cases of federal troops being deployed in U.S. borders involved labor unrest, and those also included 33 separate legal challenges to the declaration. Martial law was twice implemented nationally by a president during wartime, Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War, and then again by local military officials in Hawaii during World War II. Both martial law declarations were challenged in the court, and at both times the courts ended up ruling that a portion of those implementations were unconstitutional or too broadly applied. But remember, those findings by the court were well after the fact, years after the fact. So two laws enacted as a result of previous actions included the Insurrection Act and Posse Comitatus Act. Both are not widely used in emergency situations. The Insurrection Act spells out the only times that federal forces may be used in a domestic role, while the Posse Comitatus Act limits their use in those circumstances. However, they can be used. The Insurrection Act of 1807 gave the president the ability to deploy active duty and National Guard troops within the U.S. National Guard troops were under the purview of the state governors. So when requested by a state's legislator, if the legislator can't rapidly be convened, the governor can also request federal assistance during an insurrection within a state. Within a state. Again, doesn't have to be regional, doesn't have to be US-wide. It could be in a state. Take a look at, for example, California, New York, and tell me that's not unimaginable. If an insurrection occurs in a state, that state cannot or will not provide for protection of its citizens, federal forces may be deployed to maintain order. All that takes is a call from the governor to the president. If there is an insurrection in any state making it impractical to enforce the law, those states may request federal assistance. If the state fails to provide federally guaranteed rights, the federal assistant may be allowed to protect the citizens. So again, you don't need Democratic compromisable governors. All you need is a false crisis and story to say that ex-governor, conservative red state governor, has been either sidelined or not responding, so the federal government must protect its citizens. Now, the president, according to the law, must first issue a proclamation ordering insurgents to disperse before he may invoke the Insurrection Act. But what if we have a compromised executive or executives at the federal, state, and local level? They will define whom and what are the insurgents. We need to look no further than our own Department of Justice and FBI today, labeling parents as domestic extremists and labeling all MAGA Republicans as potential white supremacists, racists, or domestic terrorists, to understand where this could go south very quickly. And we've seen what the mainstream media, our once free press, now a fifth column, how they've served as that fifth column for the woke. The Posse Comitatus Act, first enacted in 1878, basically prohibits federal force from assisting in domestic law enforcement unless the president has directed the operations. The act allows military personnel to assist civilian police in enforcing existing laws while granting authority for the federal government to ensure federal rights are unilaterally provided and enforced nationwide. But remember, if you have a compromised commander-in-chief or you have a compromised woke governor, who's making those decisions? Who's making those declarations? Law enforcement support during martial law falls into two broad categories, direct and indirect. Direct support involves enforcing the law. Indirect support consists of providing aid to civilian law enforcement agencies. Military members in Title 10 federal activation status may not be involved in direct civilian law enforcement activities unless explicitly authorized by the president or an act of Congress. The debate and tension over when and where it's appropriate to use federal and National Guard troops for martial law is not one we've yet to resolve. So let's move from the background on martial law now. Again, military.com, great resource. And add another twist to this imagined America's Armageddon. Let's add to this potential dilemma the fact that we rely on 1%, 1% of our population to fight for us. That's our military. While 60% of the remaining 99% is going woke. Our military is being purged of independent thinkers at the same time. The unconstitutional forced vaccine of troops was called off, but the prosecution of them continues. The DOD funds drag queen shows on military bases, while the Pentagon leadership feigns that they don't know. Really? The DOD leadership pushes woke critical race theory, equity, and use of pronouns on our military. And the use of pronouns is something done to appease the 1 or 2% mentally ill, the transgenders and such. So they're trying to impose a lexicon on the majority masses of America to normalize this mental illness. At the same time, our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of Defense speak of finding and hunting down who? White supremacists in the ranks, in understanding white rage. And as I do that, our recruitment drops like a rock. And concurrently, the standards for entry into our military armed forces are dropping like a rock. Cohesiveness, unity, good order, discipline are dissipating, as we've seen now, multiple different airplane, helicopter, or other disasters resulting in the death of our servicemen. Why? In my opinion, it's because the priority is equity and CRT, not readiness and military training. So as we build a woke 1% of the military, where does this lead us? Well, it sees our military move towards being a set of actors who are not there to uphold and defend the Constitution, but development of a complacent, compliant, and likely complicit set of actors in the imposition of martial law. I lecture yearly on cognitive warfare at the Army War College. And I start my lecture by noting two things. First, that the military takes an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution, not an individual. And second, I note that for each officer in the room, they've taken their oath freely and without purpose of evasion, and that they are willing to sacrifice their life for our country, our freedoms, and their fellow Americans. So I asked them, are you willing to sacrifice your job? Are you willing to decline an illegal order, an unconstitutional order? Are you willing to resign rather than be compliant, complacent, and complicit? And every time I've done this over the last 4 years, the room is deathly quiet, deathly silent. As I know, they've never been challenged to think about this. But it's critically important that they are. Because in today's world, with self-made crisis, those woke leadership in our military, unlike their support for President Trump, where they went and apologized for standing with the president to show resolve, could be reversed and actually be used to impose martial law and subjugate our citizens. As we see the military move from a robust set of patriots to a more woke force, we must realize we cannot just keep the 1%. That paradigm must change. And we realize the imposition of martial law aided by such woke forces is not a major stretch of the imagination. We must also remind ourselves that thousands of years of history, and that history is potentially repeating itself. When we take a quote from Thucydides, where he says, "The society that separates its scholars from its warriors will have its thinking done by coward and its fighting by fools." A society that separates its scholars from its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. And if we take a look back at Dwight D. Eisenhower, his quote is very apropos here. As he stated, "There's a kind of dictatorship that can come about through a creeping paralysis of thought, readiness to accept paternalistic measures by government, much like COVID. And along with those measures comes a surrender of our own responsibilities, and therefore a surrender of our own thought over our own lives and our own right to exercise the vote. The free system gives the right to every citizen to do something for himself or herself, because he has the right, the opportunity is always there." So Eisenhower understood this as the Iron Curtain fell, that it's important for every American to exercise their rights. And I'll get to that in the last segment. But I'm here today to tell you, to send a warning for all ages, that unless we rapidly wake up and take extremely aggressive steps, America is facing a potential Armageddon from which recovery is questionable. So as I sat there at 2 a.m. and had these thoughts running through my head, it scared the hell out of me, because of the potential reality that this could come to fruition in a very short period of time. And if you take a look at 73% of Americans right now disagree with the direction this country is going. And you've seen the radical left take any measures and all measures necessary to maintain their hold on power, to include the district attorney Bragg in New York charging President Trump, which is unheard of, on a misdemeanor, to include the dossier, false dossier, and 6 years of false Russian collusion by our top spy chiefs, aiding and abetting in the situation. I sat there and thought about all this, and I thought that's unimaginable, but possible. As I have to convey this warning to our listeners, have to convey this warning to Americans. Not again to be hyperbolic, not to drive chaos or scare people, but to let you know that what is possible can happen, and let you know then what can we do to stop it. So let's return to the scenarios I'm laying out here in America's Armageddon and answer the second question. How can anyone imagine this as a real prospect? It can easily happen. As I mentioned, like the dossier, the China flu lockdowns, the extra constitutional issues that took place before the 2020 election, the left plans strategically, methodically, and implements their activities and their strategy with extreme efficiency in tactical maneuver. And they do so by leveraging a crisis that is man-made or a crisis that is natural. So when I come back, we'll talk about how can anyone imagine this prospect of an American Armageddon as real. And before I do, let me tell you all that you can listen to our shows on the National Security Hour. They play weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on American Outlaw Talk Radio Network. They're heard on iHeartRadio Network, our world-class media players, and awesome apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Those links can be found on our homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. That's AmericaOutloud.com. We'll be right back.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at CofixRX.com.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. My name is Ed Hugley. I'm your host for today. We're talking about imagining what could happen in America, in America's Armageddon. As the 9/11 Commission had stated, the intelligence community's failure was a failure of imagination. So I'm here today to bring you a horrific scenario, which I've imagined, called America's Armageddon. If we take a look at today and consider that this may be already a plan that's unfolding, let's look at some different aspects of that plan. There's 6 to 7 million illegal aliens, plus 1.5 million gotaways. That's a 30 plus thousand man army for every state in the union. Those people who got away were aided by the cartels. So besides drugs, they're probably well-armed. They know they're well-protected and using sanctuary cities. The cartels over the last several decades have infiltrated across the United States and built a network. So they know how to leverage the social, education, healthcare of legal Americans to assist in their plan and engage not only in a war on Americans, but continue the drug war on Americans. They're well-networked, and this preset network, as I said, has been developed over decades. Now, let's imagine that same set of 1.5 million gotaways. Doesn't require all of them. This is even a small subset. Say 300 versus a 30,000-man army in each state. 300 people can do a hell of a lot of damage if their intent is purposeful. Concurrently, we've seen thousands of Chinese citizens illegally infiltrate the United States. They're caught and then they're released. And we're at war with China in the cognitive warfare. China is purposely undermining our national security and taking an unrestricted warfare view in this cognitive warfare. Yet we find them and release them. They know this is going to happen, so they just continue to invade and ingress into our country across both the northern and southern borders. So besides the army that's already here, that's not even counting the 6 to 7 million illegals besides them. We have potential issues with food processing and other infrastructure. In the United States, there's about 2,500 food processing plants, big ones, I guess. The point here is there's not a huge number. So it depends on how you define food processing plants, the numbers vary. But regardless, there's the lower number of high volume food processing plants. And identifying and attacking the primary largest ones would have renowned consequences on the United States and our food supplies immediately. So according to some statistics from the USDA, there's 39,646 food processing or food markets in the United States. According to data collected by the Manufacturers News in July 2022, the meatpacking industry accounted for 2,276 of these companies nationwide. As of 2017, the USDA counted nearly 36 food processing plants in the United States, an average of 728 per state. According to the National Fire Protection Association, which keeps track of reported fires across a variety of industries, they said there were more than 4,000 food processing plant fires between 2001 and 2010, resulting in $200 million in property losses. That's over a 10-year period. But the article notes that in 2022, there was a substantial increase in the number of food processing plant fires which will occur. And if you compare 2022 to 2001 to 2010, in 2022, there are 1,200 fires in those facilities with over $1 billion in losses. So in 1 year, five times the cost and impact. Well, while some reports state the overall trend in food processing plant fires trending down over time, at the same time, it doesn't take much to start to impact the food supplies if you pick the right factories. And if you pick the right factories and you want to create your own crisis, you could drive a variety of conspiracy theories that would set the alarms off in people's heads and cause a major concern. For example, other reports speak to a different type of concern than USDA. In the Gospel News Network, .org. They say a string of fires appeared to sabotage operations targeting food processing plants, and that the list is surprisingly lengthy. Their research team meticulously documented reports for nearly 100 such fires that have been reported about the USA from 2020 to the present day. Well, we just heard from the USDA, there's 1,200 fires in 2022. So besides food processing facilities and the impact they could have, there's also key transportation hubs, rail, car. For example, here in the Washington, D.C. area, there's only a couple of key bridges. Something happened to those couple of key bridges, there'd be massive, massive chaos and disruption. As the infrastructure elements are impacted, we can easily see multiple colonial pipeline type cyber attacks concurrently happening, whether from individuals or from nation states. And a time for attribution would preclude any effective response. Such efforts would immediately drive our federal and state government to move to crisis mode and implement a continuity of government operations and continuity of operations plans. Most Americans don't know about these things, but this is what our government plans for in worst case scenarios. So we have means to continue government in a major crisis. But now let's add to this whole potential scenario the weaponization of the FBI and DOJ today in our use of our IC. And given whether a state or the president, state governor or president have compromised, gets to declare who the insurgents are, we'd see the roundup of not true domestic terrorists like Antifa, but patriotic Americans. Because under Martian law, the leadership defines who the insurgents are. In progressive cities, destruction and chaos would accelerate, crippling most of America, because they're biggest cities, a lot of them are progressive. As noted in prior discussions, in seeking absolute power, those seeking absolute power care not about the people. You are considered necessary collateral damage. That's why when the Soviets took power in the Iron Curtain after World War II, the Chinese took power, the Nazis took power, hundreds of millions of people were slaughtered, murdered, tortured, imprisoned, so that they could subjugate them and impose power. So within less than 48 hours, chaos and anarchy would ensue given a number of infrastructure attacks, whether they're food, whether they're energy. And the people would, of course, be extremely frightened. And all this would be meant purposely to create a crisis to then subjugate the people. That's not a stretch of the imagination. That could happen very easily today. Economic collapse. In such a crisis were to start to ensue, we could easily see where the yuan, Chinese yuan, would overtake the dollar. The resulting chaos and collapse of our economy would allow China to step in and replace the dollar as a preeminent monetary supply worldwide. Add to that the supply chains, and with infrastructure attacks, the supply chains would cease to function. So now you have chaos across America, people wondering what they're going to do, the front end of the banks. And for those military we do have in the country, not deployed worldwide, they'd be asked to then leave their families to go help quell unrest. And in doing so, as I've said over the last 4 years in my instruction at the Army War College, they'd be asked to leave their families behind, knowing that within those 48 hours, their chances of survival were going to decline dramatically. So basically, you'd neutralize our military, because they'd have to either give up their family and know to a knowingly potentially harmful death, or go defend a country. That's a tough call to make. The question is, what tenders will the adversaries use to set off this course of events? We've seen Trump's indictment as one, but that's just the beginning. With 73% of Americans not wanting to put up with Biden and his cronies, they'll do anything they can to maintain power. The call up Antifa on speed dial is to instigate, much as they were going to do on 1 April, but they called off that transgender day of insurrection because they got threats, apparently. In other words, each state and governor needs to prepare for their COOP or COG, Continuity Operations Plan or Continuity of Government, and the deployment and control of their National Guard without federal intervention or efforts to seize control of the state militias. So now that I've imagined a real possible set of scenarios by which we could create America's Armageddon today. And if you listen to me talk about some of the different ways that could be done, my hope is that you're heeding this warning and that you realize this is not just a potential imagination. So what can we do to fix this? How can we avoid such a calamity? Well, there's a number of steps we could take to get there. First is we have to go back and through Congress mandate legislation that should be completely bipartisan to educate the executive branch employees, our military, our national security apparatus, and remind them of their oath of office, that their oath of office is to the Constitution and not to a person or organization, that their oath of office requires them, if given an illegal order or direction, to refuse that and report that. Now, whom do they report that to? Do they report that up the chain so they can self-execute? So Congress needs to think about how do we create a mechanism for federal employees to report such misdirection and abuse. Now, there's a Whistleblower Protection Act, but I've already talked to you about that before. That's a hollow act. Anybody who undertakes that act and tries to blow the whistle basically self-executes in today's society because the law gives them very little, if any, protection, any real protection. Sounds nice, but it's highly ineffective. So we have to think of how we enforce and uphold that law and advance that law. And I think, again, you do it by imposing severe fiscal and imprisonment penalties on those who are found undertaking retribution. Let me get back on track here. How else do we oppose such a potential scenario? Well, all Americans should read the Constitution and understand their rights, states' rights, and the nation is a constitution that focuses on limited government for the security of our nation. They should understand, which most Americans don't, there's a balance of power between the executive, judicial, and legislative branches. And that given this potential scenario, Congress needs to ensure there's increased security for the Supreme Court of the United States, well beyond what it currently is. Because you saw when there was demonstrations outside the SCOTUS's houses, the Department of Justice stood by, did nothing. They did nothing to protect and enforce the law. And the president, the speaker of the House at the time, Nancy Pelosi, and other Democratic leaders said nothing. They did not condemn the violence. They did not condemn the demonstrations, and therefore basically give silent acquiescence to the potential assassination of Supreme Court justices. State governments and the people have the powers and need to be prepared to fully understand and exercise those powers and authorities. We need to get the American people involved in rights and their understanding their rights, involved in civics, teaching American history, not pronouns. So your young and old understand their freedom is neither free nor guaranteed. Our freedom is not guaranteed, as Ben Franklin once famously said. It's a republic if you can keep it. Understand the Constitution. Now, this is a very important point. Understand the Constitution places in Congress's sole authority to try individuals for treason. Given the potential scenario I outlined for an American Armageddon, I believe drastic action needs to be taken to include bypassing impeachment and charging the Manchurian President Biden with treason, which allows Congress to bypass the Department of Justice and hold hearings and get the evidence out there for the American people. To support and facilitate this, they should take a look at potentially arresting and imprisoning woke progressives for abrogating the oaths of office, whether it's the DA in California or folks like Bragg up in New York. As federal and state law allows for the arrest and imprisonment, fines, and precluding officials from holding further public office should they abrogate their oath. States need to prepare for America's Armageddon by rapidly expanding and deputizing their legal militia by their sheriffs. We need to educate and remind our national security apparatus, our military, our FBI, our intelligence community, not to follow illegal orders, but how to report them, how to address them, and if necessary, how to arrest those who are making the unconstitutional acts. There's a great book by Ray Bradbury that is apropos for this scenario in terms of its title. The title reads, "Something Wicked This Way Comes." As it began today, I spoke of imagining what our adversaries could do to create America's Armageddon. I hope the reality of the potential scenarios and message delivered today is shared wide and far with your friends, your family, and elected officials, local to federal. We can no longer be complacent or compliant, as today I brought you a warning for all ages. The greatest generation is passing by thousands each day. The future of our country will be determined by the masses who've taken their freedoms for granted today. They will or may soon find their freedoms come with such a great cost if they're not properly tended to. And as this current scenario, as I imagine, may unfold, they could cause centuries of despair, millions of deaths tortured under dystopian, tyrannical despots. So let the warning sink in. I'm here on the National Security Hour to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I'll go outside the fog of the daily chaos to give you a strategic perspective on national security issues and speak truth to power, the power of we the people, so we together can best ensure the resilience and security of our republic. Thanks for joining us on the mission. National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America.